recipes.
Now, Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan Tam Pearson. Good morning to you, sir. Nice to see you.
Yeah, you as well. Good morning.
This is a really difficult story, and you're going to walk us through this. The photograph that is horrifying people the world over, three-year-old Syrian boy, his lifeless body, found on the shores in Turkey, this family trying to escape. Take us through what you know, what's come down so far, because it's complicated, and as is Canada's potential connection here.
That is true. The story is a genuine tragedy. Most of us now have seen the picture of three-year-old Aylin having washed up dead on the beach. Canadian connection to all of this is that the boy's aunt, he also had a brother, age five, who also died trying to escape. The family has an aunt who lives over in the Lower Mainland, and she had been making efforts now for a number of months trying to assist her two brothers, the father of the two boys who died along with their mother, Syrian refugees. She had been trying to assist them and sponsoring her family members to help them escape what's been going on in Syria and the region. And the application that she filed was apparently with respect to the boy's uncle, their older brother, and their children.
Not the boy who is in the picture.
Yes, she was making efforts to try and get both of her brothers and all of their families, including these deceased children, here to Canada. But she was running up against how the Canadian immigration system deals with refugees. The policy of the current government has an emphasis on what's referred to as private sponsorship of refugees.
Right.
And the issue there is sort of who is, sort of by what process are we going to select who gets to come as a refugee, and then who is going to be responsible to help pay for basic needs when they arrive, their housing, clothing, food, and this sort of thing before they can get to work here. And the policy which the current government is focused on is this private sponsorship of refugees program. And the way that works is that groups of five people, often church or other community groups, but they can be other groups of individuals like this family member, can get together and offer to sponsor someone or a family, a refugee family who would need to come here. There are limits on how that works. People can't be sponsoring multiple families at the same time. They bear financial responsibility for the people who are coming over. Given that is the method which we have adopted lately in Canada as a focus for refugees, the aunt of the deceased boy had to make a choice about which of her brothers and family she was going to try to sponsor.
Oh, my goodness.
She tried to sponsor her older brother because his children hadn't been to school in 3 years. That application was apparently filed and rejected. There was the mother, the aunt of the deceased boys, and their mother had met with her MP back in March, who had personally delivered to the Minister of Immigration a request to help, but that didn't occur. So this is, in addition to being an absolute tragedy, this is likely to have other political implications given the timing of all of this.
No kidding. Prime Minister Harper speaking just a little while ago in Surrey, and you remember a quote that he made in that. What did he have to say?
One of his comments was that this issue is bigger than any single photograph. He made reference to having visited and seen some of the tragedy in these refugee camps. This actually was an issue being debated by the Conservative Immigration Minister last night on Power and Politics before it became came to his attention that the actual connection to him and the request for help from this family. And one of the debates going on politically is whether we ought to have the government permitting more refugees in and whether it should be the government sponsoring and helping to pay the cost for more refugees rather than leaving much of that burden with private individuals and groups. One of the problems that's been identified with leaving that issue to private groups, often religious and other groups, in addition to whether the number of people being allowed in and helped is adequate, one of the other criticisms...
No kidding. I mean, how do you assess that?
No, it's true. One of the other criticisms, though, is whether that process is a discriminatory one in the sense that there is a suggestion that there may be a preference for people from some religious groups and not others, given who is which groups in Canada are prepared to privately sponsor refugees.
This is an absolute mess. And if Prime Minister Harper thinks that, you know, the story is much bigger than one picture, this one picture of this three-year-old boy lying on the beach, it is absolutely gut-wrenching, and it is the flashpoint for the kind of conversation that we're having right now. Let's bring Barbara into the conversation. Hi, Barbara, you're on CFAX.
Oh, thank you very much, Pamela, and greetings to your guest. I am really alarmed by this. This is certainly a tragedy, but since the inception of the immigration policy, Canada has accepted more than any other country in the world, 70%. It costs us this year $25 billion, and it goes up every year $2 billion. This terrible tragedy over and over again. But we have people on the streets. We have unemployment. Well, surely looking after our own people should come first. And we have done more than our share.
Thanks, Barbara. Michael Mulligan, do you want to comment on that?
Yes. I think while there is certainly initial cost to somebody who might come to Canada as a refugee, helping to pay for immediate housing or food or those sort of needs, I think when you look at the long-term impact of immigration, it's not a net cost to the country. It in the long term, is a net benefit. These people
who start to work, pay taxes.
That's exactly right. And if you look at the long-term outcomes for people who immigrate to Canada, it is a net benefit to the economy. So in some ways, I think we can view the cost of this sort of humanitarian help as a long-term investment in the well-being of our economy and our country.
Well, and the well-being of us being decent human beings. Sarah writes, in Canada, should step up and accept more refugees. We are a rich nation and could do more to help. Allow 25,000 and then split them up equally among the provinces. This is a humanitarian issue and not a partisan issue. Michael.
Yes, I think that is an excellent sentiment. We have to also remember in the long term, in addition to our sort of moral obligation to help people in this state whose lives are at risk, who are fleeing desperate situations. This was a family who the father was just interviewed. They spent several thousand dollars paying smugglers to take them on this small boat. The smugglers gave them fake life jackets, and the father described trying desperately to grab onto his children and his wife as they slipped away and died. So there is a horrendous human cost to this. But in the broad, long term, in my judgment, immigration is good for the economy. We have a population which is aging and inviting families in need to come here likely is to our benefit,
Let's
ultimately.
Bring Bernard into the conversation. Good morning, Bernard. You're on CFAX.
Hi. I mean, I dislike this when people are like, we don't want refugees, we shouldn't take too many refugees. My mother came to Canada because she was a refugee. She would have gone to the United States, but they weren't accepting refugees from Estonia immediately after the war, or very few, but Canada would take her. So she came to Canada. Because of that, she got married here, and because of that, myself, my brother, and my sister, we all live here, and I think my family has been a net benefit to this country.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that story, Bernard. Obviously, pretty emotional for you hearing what's happening, and given your family's background, I thank you for sharing. We are on CFAX 1070, legally speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam & Pearson. We're taking your calls, and the CFAX news poll today. Should Canada accept more refugees from Syria? So far, only 33% say yes, 66% say no. We're taking your calls after the break.
Email. Talk at CFAX1070.com. Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070. When it rains, it pours. Or will it? We get it right with an accurate, up-to-the-minute forecast. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Your baby is off to school, all grown up now, independent, ready for life. And the source is there to help your young adult succeed with great deals on laptops, tablets, and smartphones so they can keep in touch, say hi, ask for advice, ask how to make noodles, beg for money, and ask if they can move back home. Right now, get an incredible deal. Buy a Microsoft Surface 3 and get bonus Monster Adidas Originals headphones, valued at $249.99, while quantities last. See store or thesource.ca for details. The Source. I want that.
Clean up with Coit. Final week to save one-third off all surfaces, including air ducts, carpets, rugs, blinds, drapes, upholstery, tile and grout too. Joan had Coit clean her tile and grout.
Look at the film on here. Look at the water stains we have over here. Look at my shower.
How did Coit do?
It never looks so good. It looks like it's brand new to me.
Clean up with Coit. Final week to save one-third off all surfaces. Call now, 1-800-4-COIT. That's F-O-R-C-O-I-T.
We're here live at the soccer field talking to kids who play Timbits Soccer. Tim Hortons supports over 200,000 kids in Timbits Soccer, where there's all...
Whoa! How many kids?
200,000.
Wow! 200,000 kids?
Yep.
That's more than my school.
That's every kid in the world.
Well, not quite, but it's a lot.
Come on, guys, let's go play.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
Tim Hortons is proud to support Timbits Soccer. 200,000 kids playing one really fun game.
At Lansdowne Appliance, it's always a good time to buy a quality Whirlpool appliance. But right now is the best time because Whirlpool is giving back. Whirlpool's Customer Appreciation Event is on now until the end of September. Receive 15% instant savings when you purchase one or two qualified Whirlpool appliances. And receive 20% instant savings when you purchase three or more. The Whirlpool Customer Appreciation Event on now at Lansdowne Appliance on the corner of Douglas and Kings and at LansdowneAppliance.com.
Hi, this is Daryl.
And I'm Tom from Murphy Wall Beds.
You know, it seems like everyone needs more room these days, but with the cost of renovations in real estate, it seems next to impossible to get it.
Need a home office, guest room, storage, or TV room? With Murphy Wall Beds, you can have it.
Let us show you how our innovative designs and products can let one room do it all at a fraction of the price.
Come and see what we have in store for you at Murphy Wall Beds of Victoria, 3075 Douglas Street, building quality living solutions into Victoria homes for over 25 years.
Giving you the power to be smarter than your smartphone. Tech Talk with Alan Perry. Saturday mornings at 10 on CFAX 1070. The biggest news events, the stories in our community. Understood. It's Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back to Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam & Pearson. We're talking about the fallout from that horrific picture, a three-year-old boy lying face down in water on a Turkish beach, losing his brother and his mother, his father surviving and attempting, at least part of the family, to get into Canada, that application denied. I want to get to some of the emails here. We're taking your calls, by the way. What do you think of what's happening here? 250-386-1161, star 1070 on your cell, talk at cfax1070.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Bob writes, I'm appalled that the NDP and the Liberals have turned this tragedy into an election issue. Up until the death of this young boy, They were out lavishing endless promises in the electorate without any regard to this issue. There have been myriad other deaths in this crisis. Why didn't they speak up then? Appalling. Michael.
Well, it's true. There have been many other people who have died as a result of what's going on in Syria. So that is true. However, this was being debated just yesterday by Chris Alexander, the conservative immigration minister, who's now suspended his campaign and managed to sneak back to Ontario, sneak out of an airport. He was being debated about whether the Conservative government was doing enough to help refugees, and that was going on yesterday before he became aware of his connection to what happened to this little boy. So this isn't a new matter. In fact, one of his retorts when he was being confronted with the by the Liberal and NDP critics on the issue, saying the government wasn't doing enough and wasn't helping to pay the cost of sponsoring people. His retort was to blame the media for failing to cover the issue.
Wow. Hi, Greg. You're on CFAX.
Thank you, Pamela. A couple of things. Isn't it funny that, or odd maybe, that human nature is such that we need to have that particular picture fried into our brain before we start to really seriously react? That little girl today, the little girl who was in front of the napalm attack in Vietnam, yep. Terry Fox lying on the stretcher, barely holding his tears back, saying the cancer has come back. If we didn't have those pictures in our brain, it's very likely that we would contribute less and be less involved. And so it's taken this snapshot to do that. We need the immigration system fixed. I had a delightful administrative assistant that worked for me when I was working, and she, with Christchurch and others, have sponsored some Syrian refugees. And she says it takes 4 years to get someone from over there to over here and settled. And that's a private, not a public support. And finally, Michael, I would say, just a quick comment. You're right. It's a net positive. The challenge is, in the short term, it's a net negative. It's a draw on budgets, wherever they be, in the short term, so that over the course of a generation, we can actually benefit from the investment. Thanks, Pamela. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Greg. Yeah. Thoughtful comment.
Yes, and I think that's quite right. It should be looked at sort of the money we'd invest in helping kids like Aylin come to Canada. It's sort of like the money we might invest in building a highway or building a bridge or something. There is a short-term cost to it, but I think when you look at the long-term statistics, it's likely to be a positive thing for the country.
Steve writes in, we may feel appalled at the photo of the child on the beach, but there are many more innocents laying lifeless in the rubble from Canada's bombing. The people of Syria have been waiting for years for international intervention to stop Assad. They have given up waiting and are now abandoning their home country. We all share some responsibility for this child. To suddenly wake up because of this photo disrespects all the other victims of this war. Let's get to Geraldine. Hi, Geraldine. You're on CFAX.
Hi. You are brilliant. I was just going to say exactly what you said about having some responsibility. It's like Eastern and Western medicine. Western medicine deals with symptoms. I have a headache. Let's have a pain number. Of course, we need to take them. Canada is a generous and big-hearted country, but we need to look at what took them to the situation that they're at, because otherwise we can take refugees, especially economic refugees, from the whole universe. And so, yes, we need to take refugees, but we also need a longer-term solution. So other countries would not be in a situation that the poor Syrian families are.
Yeah, no kidding. Thanks, Geraldine. Obviously getting to the deeper issues here of what caused the refugee situation to begin with.
Yes, that's true, and that's a reasonable perspective on the matter. But when you have people in boats dying on a daily basis trying to flee to save their children, It's like people showing up in the emergency ward with the knife sticking out of their chest. We need to deal with the knife, and then we can, after we've got the person stabilized, we can worry about some of the larger picture issues that might cause somebody to get to the emergency department.
And I've just got to tell our listeners that I put a call into Keith Martin yesterday before this photo came out because I wanted to get on to this refugee crisis that's going on. So this is happening today in reaction to the photo, but I was trying to get Keith Martin to come on Monday to talk about it, and he's on holiday. But just to let you know that we weren't avoiding the issue and suddenly getting on it now. But it does bear discussion, given that the whole nation's talking about it. Let's see what Bob has to say. Hi, Bob. You're on CFAX.
Well, yeah, this is certainly tragic. And, you know, I mean, I've got grandkids and kids, too, and it's a sad-looking situation. But, you know, it's got to be on that thug that runs Syria to begin with. And, you know, really, when you look at the world, this is only going to get 100 times worse. And it's going to go on and on and on. And, you know, for years, Cubans have tried to get to Florida and died, and you don't hear much about that. Then all of a sudden, it's a big deal, people coming from Syria. You know, this has been going on for years and years and years. Get used to it. It's going to keep going on for years and years and years, and there's going to be more tragedy because the people that are so-called leaders of this world can't get it together, and thugs like the people that are running Syria are allowed to do it. And it just makes no sense, and we have to pay for it. It's like somebody not raising their kids properly, and then the police have to deal with them when they get older. And as a society, we have to pay for it.
But we do
pay for it. Well, certainly, and they should go in and take this thug out and restore some democracy to this country.
You know, thanks for your call, Bob. I from covering what's been going on in Syria, the absolute complexity of that war is such that I can understand the degree of reticence at the outset of getting involved. And I know that some politicians did suggest that Canada should be showing its humanitarian hand and helping on the borders in Turkey and the like, to assert our power that way. And another way, of course, is allowing Syrian refugees into this country. I mean, Cubans are not being bombed. These people are running for their lives. Michael.
I think that's exactly correct. And the problem there is a complex one. It's not a matter of simply successfully bombing Assad and the result would be democracy springing up in Syria. Some of the factions they're fighting are extremely problematic and distasteful themselves. You know, you may wind up replacing Assad with ISIS, and that may not be the
Saddam Hussein and you create ISIS.
Yes.
Well, it seems that there's quite a distinct flavor to this. Our CFAX 1070 news poll: should Canada accept more refugees from Syria? Look at this: 72% of the people are saying no. 27% say yes. Go to our website and answer this poll and let us know how you feel. We're going to keep covering this tomorrow. I have a Victoria woman on at 11:30 who has family in Syria, and we're going to hear her story of what it's been like to try to help them to get them out. Thank you so much, Michael Mulligan.
Thank you.
Michael Mulligan.